Good morning and welcome. Thank you for being with us as we worship together today online. You know, this is Father's Day Sunday, and as Father's Day Sunday, much like Mother's Day, the sermon itself tends to follow as much of the scripture as it does address the events of the day, and the events of the day, of course, being Father's Day. And you might think for a person who's preaching that Father's Day is in many senses an easier Sunday to preach on than Mother's Day, because, of course, God identifies himself, one of his three persons that we talked about just briefly ago on Holy Trinity Sunday, as God the Father. And, of course, there's all sorts of metaphors and similes that can be made about God being a father. And in many senses, yes, it is easier to talk about Father's Day in terms of Scripture than it is Mother's Day because of this parallel. But also in many ways, it's far harder to talk about Father's Day. When one is talking about mothers and Mother's Day, all that there is to compare to mothers are biblical mothers like Jesus's mother Mary, or just the general concept of motherhood. And while we may never all exactly measure up to every single model of motherhood, we measure up in many ways as human beings to other human beings. But when we come to Father's Day and we're measuring up against God the Father, well, there's going to be some inherent problems. Because no matter how good a father is, and we all strive to be the best fathers we can when we have our children, I know I do, we're never going to measure up to the perfection of God the Father. Because, of course, God's perfection is absolute. And we, well, we're never going to be absolutely perfect. And so, there's a little extra challenge in talking about the perfection of God the Father. But if we're being honest, before we talk about God the Father in his perfection, we have to address the notion of God as Father at all. Because when Jesus brought this concept to the forefront, it wasn't the first time anyone had ever talked about God being Father, but it certainly was the first time that it became center stage and a primary aspect of the theology of God's people. Jesus made it very clear that the relationship God chose to have with humanity was Father, and that we came into this relationship by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Son. And this is what we need to talk about today. Jesus's conversation that he's having here on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So let's do a little politics and geography here for a moment. The Sea of Galilee is, of course, close to where Jesus grew up. And on half of the Sea of Galilee, it was Jewish. And this part of the ancient Jewish world was very much involved in fishing and trading, because the other side of the Sea of Galilee was Gentile. And this part was associated with Rome. And so all of the fishing and trading that the Jewish side of the Sea of Galilee was doing was then being used by the Gentile side of the Sea of Galilee. And when Jesus's ministry begins taking off in this part of the world, he does this strange thing. He forgets to stay on his side of the lake. Okay, he doesn't forget anything. He chooses not to stay on his side of the lake. He intentionally crosses the boundary, the borders between the acceptable Jewish world and the unacceptable Gentile world. And then when he's in this unacceptable Gentile world, he does this weird thing. He treats them the same way he treats people on his own side of the lake. And now he's in the land of the Gerasenes. And here in the land of the Gerasenes, they're raising pigs, because why wouldn't they? They're Gentiles. And Jesus encounters a Gerasene demoniac, a person who is afflicted with demons, plural. And Jesus casts the demons out, ironically enough, into some pigs. And the pigs, which probably represented a large chunk of whatever farmer that was, his income, crash down into the ocean and die. And the man who Jesus encountered, who was possessed by demons, professes faith in Jesus Christ, even though he is himself a foreigner, a Gentile. And the people who Jesus encounter in this moment I have to imagine that on some level, they are impressed. They're probably happy for the man who is possessed by demons. They're not so happy about their loss of income, but even more so. And I'm not saying that they're not upset about the dead pigs. They are. What they're really more concerned about is this strange, powerful, spiritual foreigner in their midst. What is this going to mean for this very delicate relationship between the Jewish community and the Gentile community now that Jesus is beginning to blur those lines, bend those divisions? He's in their midst, and this is making them uncomfortable. Worse yet, he is still doing the same ministry he did on his own side of the border, on their side of the border, as though that border didn't exist. And this makes them very concerned. Because, of course, for Jesus, the border doesn't exist. As far as he's concerned, his Father, God in heaven, has chosen to send him, God on earth, who is the Son of God, down to proclaim to all of the people of the world God's desire to be reconciled to them through the forgiveness of sins, which Jesus himself is going to accomplish on the cross. He wants everybody to have the same opportunity. And what is that opportunity? It's the opportunity to be forgiven, and that's good and important and useful. It is the opportunity to live a new life in God's kingdom, and that's marvelous. It's the opportunity to live on after this life is over, and that is very important. But there's a final thing that is very, very different, and that is that Jesus is offering for them not just to become a part of God's kingdom, not just a part of God's worshipers, but a part of God's family. And this is where things get very important and connected to the notion of Father's Day. And that is, Jesus repeatedly says, and the other writers of scriptures do too, before the Son of God came, we were no people. We were not a part of God's kingdom. And those who were Jews who were living under the old commandment were part of his kingdom, but not part of his family. Because God is creator, first and foremost, and we are creations. If I make a really beautiful steak on the grill and I bring it into the living room and I sit down with that steak in front of me, I'm thinking I've created a marvelous steak. I'm not thinking I've given birth to a new son. That steak and I don't have that kind of relationship. I'm just its creator. I may look on that steak and say, boy, that looks good. I might look at that steak and say, that steak is beautiful. I love it. But that doesn't mean I'm going to be in relationship with that steak. I'm just its creator. And the same is true for God, who created humanity. He wanted to be in relationship with us. He wanted to be our Father, but we turned away from God through sin. We broke that relationship and ceased to be able to lay claim to that title because we were no longer worthy of it. So what are we? We are no people. But we're a people who are now going to be given an opportunity. And that opportunity is that for whosoever believes in Jesus Christ, not only are sins forgiven, not only are we invited to live in God's kingdom, not only are we invited to live beyond this life forever and ever, but that we are invited to a relationship with God whereby we can now again look to God as God who we have a personal relationship with, as Father. And all that goes with that notion that God is not only loving and protective and creative, but also that God is authority, because that kind of goes with the Father thing too. See, we live in a world that wants to think that simply by virtue of existing, that we can consider God our Father. But of course, if that were so, why would Jesus have bothered wasting his time going to see the Gentiles? They're already children of God. Why would he have bothered going to see the Jews? They're already children of God. But that's because they weren't. They were creations of God that God wanted to transform them into children of God. And this is the transformational thing that the gospel of Jesus Christ is here to bring us. New life in the kingdom of God, whereby we now look to a relationship with God, made whole not by our actions or our perfection, but through Jesus' act on the cross and our faith in Christ. So Jesus crosses the border over to the people of the Gerasenes because they're people who are separated from and isolated away from a relationship with God the Father. He proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people on his own side of the lake for the same reason, in order that those who are broken in their relationship with God might be made whole again. So on Father's Day, we are reminded of the fact that our Father in heaven is here reconciling the world to himself through Jesus Christ, and that the fundamental element of God's fatherhood is found in mercy, in grace, in forgiveness for those who receive the gift. Those who deny the gift remain outside of the relationship. And this is a very important element that the church is called to address. We proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to a broken world, not that we might have more people in church on Sunday or that we would improve the condition of social interactions and morality and ethics. We introduce people to the gospel of Jesus Christ because they're not a part of God's family, and God the Father wants them to be. And it is God's goodwill that he brings us into his family. So I say to you all this Father's Day, the whole concept of fatherhood in the Bible is about reconciliation, love, and including those who choose to receive the gift of that reconciling love. So on this Father's Day, may us who are fathers and all those who have and have been fathers, may we live this love out by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and fatherless world.